Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of The Wrap-Up, a production of The Balance. Join Tom and $2 Bill Josh as they wrap up the last 24 hours of sports for you. Right now, here's Tom and $2 Bill Josh.
I am Optimus Prime, and I send this message to any surviving Autobots taking refuge among the stars. We are here. We are waiting.
Alongside me is that partner in crime, the one, the only safe cracker, and the guy with his own jersey, Mr. $2 Bill Josh. How are we doing today, my brother?
I'm doing well, Tom, and we have good news. You will soon have your own jersey, too.
Is it El Presidente jersey? Is that my jersey?
It's going to be number one to say El Presidente on the back.
I love it. It's great. For those of you that do not know, and we're not at the balanced draft, $2 Bill Josh wore his Colts jersey, and on the back it simply said $2 Bill, and with the big number two. And so I tell you, we had a lot of people come up and talk to us about that. Good to see you. See everybody that came out to the draft and was a part of the balanced football draft, fantasy football draft. Had a great time out there, and you can see all the results for the first two results anyway, www.thebalanceonline.com. Well, Joshua, I was all prepared to talk about the Redskins and the Colts and what have you, but then Ursay had to go and tweet something about being in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Quite frankly, I think it was a big joke. Obviously, those of you that follow Ursay's tweet, if you're not on Twitter, let me just take this second real quick to tell you, you guys need to get on Twitter. It's free. It limits you to 140 characters. You don't have to worry about a bunch of stuff like Facebook. And you get to follow us, The Balance, and you have the opportunity to follow great NFL owners like Jim Ursay, who tweeted that he's in Hattiesburg, left or right at the Fire Chef. So, again, I think it was just a joke, but it does, inside every joke is a certain element of truth, Josh, and that's the truth that we want to talk about. The Colts situation with number 18, Peyton Manning, the league's only four-time MVP league winner, is in some serious trouble. And I think as a Colts fan and in the NFL, obviously with the AFC South, where goes Peyton Manning, there goes the AFC South. What kind of a situation and how dire of a problem do we have here with number 18?
Well, regarding the tweet, I actually do think it's serious. There's been confirmation that a plane very similar to the one that Jim Ursay actually owns was actually in Hattiesburg, Mississippi yesterday.
Apparently, and I know what story you're talking about there, Josh. Apparently, the plane never landed. Apparently, he just flew over Hattiesburg. That's the rumor.
I do think there's got to be something to it, though. As we've seen in the first two preseason games, whether they're really worried about Manning missing the first game or not, I'm going to ask Tom a question here in a minute. But I think the stats would show, and the gameplay itself would show, the Painter and Orlovsky are not the answer. So, Tom, would you feel comfortable, even if Manning's going to be back for game one, heading into the season, knowing that Peyton gets hurt, the rest of the playoffs, the Super Bowl, hangs in the hands of one of those two?
You cut out there at the end. Go ahead and repeat that question, Josh.
I was saying that whether or not Peyton Manning's actually in any danger of missing the first game, after what we've seen from Painter and Orlovsky in the first two games, would you really be willing to risk going into the season knowing Manning could get injured, even if he is ready for game one, with Painter and Orlovsky as the backups?
Well, I think that we have to be comfortable with Painter and Orlovsky. And I don't know why I have such a hard time with that name. I have a hard time with the English language, period. Until we get somebody else in there. And here's the thing. If he misses game one, he's going to miss six games. Well, that's going to cause a huge, huge problem for Curtis Painter. I don't think he's proven that he's a capable backup. Now, I'm not necessarily jumping in the lynch mob to drive Curtis Painter out of Indianapolis. What I am saying is that Curtis Painter has not developed into the quarterback that the Indianapolis Colts had hoped, thought, and prayed that he would. That said, I think that until we get that veteran quarterback signed, and who that might be, I mean, obviously, what a better jersey seller, what a way for the city to make some money to sign Brett Favre, let him play six games, and let him hold a clipboard for the rest of the season and earn his money. My thoughts on that won't happen. I think, if anything, they're going to stick with Curtis Painter, even if that means that they have to stretch it out six games. We go 2-10, and we pick up that quarterback by the name of Lady Luck and have him here in Indianapolis. Although, I don't think Colts fans, Colts players, or Ursay Pullion or anybody, Jim Caldwell or anybody said, will allow us to lose that many games to get the first round draft pick, which Luck will obviously probably get the first round, Josh.
I would agree, but here's the reason I do think there's movement being made, and they're going to bring in a veteran quarterback, and it's likely going to be Brady Quinn, not Brett Favre. If they were comfortable with Painter and Orlovsky, after that tweet would have came out, Jim Irsay, Tim Caldwell, Bill and Chris Pullion would have given him a ringing endorsement. As is, they haven't said anything other than we're looking for a veteran quarterback. They haven't said Painter's doing a good job. Painter's our backup. They haven't said anything. So let's
ask right. Here's one of the things that I think, and I was talking about this on the Gary Snyder show today, and make sure you go to his Facebook and hit like. He's just a few people away from getting a bunch of likes on his Facebook. But what I would say is, Curtis Painter is not who we need to have in there. That much I believe. However, there's another quarterback that I think would be a good fit for the Indianapolis Colts, and maybe I'm a one-man show in this particular situation. I think the Denver Broncos are getting to the point of getting ready to release Tim Tebow. I think if that happens, Ursay Pullion and Caldwell will have a serious look at that situation. I think Tim Tebow would fit in great here in Indianapolis. I think he has a great background about himself. I think he has the ability to be a leader in the NFL. I think that he would be a great look for the Indianapolis Colts. I think we really need to stop talking about Brett Favre. There's a lot of quarterbacks, veteran quarterbacks that probably could make a good quarterback holding the clipboard for number 18. The thing is, if Peyton Manning doesn't start the first game, we're losing him for six games. Now, ultimately, the question is going to be asked to Peyton, can you start? Can you play? Can you win? If Peyton cannot answer yes to all three of those questions, I don't think it's going to be a matter of Ursay, Caldwell, or Pullion saying, no, you can't play. I think it's going to be a matter of number 18, Peyton Manning, saying, I understand that I got a streak going. I've never missed a start in my career, but I've got to think about myself. I've got to think about my family. I've got to think about my future. I am going to take this six games and take the time that my body needs so that I can come back and start winning games. So I would say that we are going to know very, very soon here, Josh, who is going to be that guy if Peyton Manning doesn't come in. And I think we'll know very soon if he's even going to play the first game. I know he's very doubtful about it. He's very worried about it. So our thoughts are that we're going to lose Peyton Manning for the first six games. Now, who do we bring in? There's a lot of speculation on who that could be. Obviously, with the recent tweet with Jim Irsay flying over Hattiesburg or not being in Hattiesburg or what have you. The thing is, that's certainly not something that can be kept under wraps for very long. And the truth will come out. And if we are talking to Brett Favre, and if there is a situation to where he'll end up here in Indianapolis, then absolutely, Brett Favre would be a good addition. But I think that we need to look past that. I don't think that Brett Favre is seriously going to come to Indianapolis.
I would have to agree, but here's the thing about Irsay not tweeting. That's stupid. He needs to keep his mouth shut and off the keyboard. In fact, maybe the Colts should take away his Twitter account. But as far
here's the thing, Josh. He owns the team. He could Twitter about anything he wants to Twitter about. And if it's to throw the sniff off, so the fact that we're talking about Brett Favre and his tweets as opposed to talking about who they really are talking about bringing here to Indianapolis and to take some pressure off Peyton Manning and to take some pressure off Jim Caldwell and to take some pressure off the fans, I'm all for it. Let's talk about Brett Favre coming to Indianapolis. I mean, that doesn't mean that he's coming to Indianapolis. And I think that Jim Irsay could tweet whatever he wants to tweet. Bottom line is the Indianapolis Colts have never been a knee-jerk type of organization. They've always been a team that just sits back and plans, speculates, and really develop. They've worked hard to develop the culture that they have. Say what you will about Bill Polian, but he is a master at strategy, and he knows who to pick. He knows who to look at. And right now, they're doing exactly that. They're seeing what are their options, what are their possibilities, who do they bring in. If they have to bring somebody in, can Curtis Painter develop into that situational quarterback? And he's not proven that he can do that, but that doesn't mean that he's lost faith with the Colts organization.
Well, here's the deal, though. Everybody keeps talking about what Bill Polian would do. Bill Polian is not going to do anything except keep his figurehead title because he has 3 years left on his contract, sit out on the lake in North Carolina, maybe make a phone call to his son and give his son some advice. But as far as what Bill Polian is going to do, nothing, because he doesn't have the power to anymore. And as far as Tebow goes, no. And we're going to get Tebow, keep Curtis Painter. Now, Tebow has great running talent. He has a great Christian testimony. He's a well-liked guy. I would start Curtis Painter over Tim Tebow 8 days a week.
Okay, why would you do that?
Tebow only completes 43% of his passes. You can't throw anything over 30 yards. He hasn't shown he could take control of the huddle. His own teammates in Denver don't seem to particularly like him. I don't see why you would want to deal with the headache.
No, and here's the thing. It doesn't matter who we bring in. We've got a headache to deal with. So the question is, you know, Brady Quinn. You mentioned Brady Quinn, or at least I thought you did, about coming here to Indianapolis. Brady Quinn is going to stay right there in Denver, okay? The Broncos are going to release Tim Tebow. So that said, Tim Tebow is going to end up somewhere. He's got a say what you will, but Tebow is a leader in this league waiting to happen. He's not broke out of his shell yet for whatever reason. Maybe it's the, you know, a lot of times it's just the organization, and a fresh look and a fresh start can mean all the difference in the world to a quarterback. And the thing is, if we're not going to have number 18, then, you know, we stick with Painter and let's take our lumps and let Painter learn, and baptism by fire, if you will, and hope that in six games and on the seventh game, Peyton Manning can come out and save a season. And who knows, you know, with the way that teams played last year, you could really have a losing season and still get in the playoffs. We're talking about the AFC South. We're talking about the Texans, the Titans. We're talking about the Texans, who are already having situations out there as well. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Texans and the Colts end up with records that are very, very similar to each other. So, I mean, here's the thing. We're talking about the AFC South. We're also talking about Peyton Manning. We're also talking about the Indianapolis Colts. So, you know, my thing is if Tim Tebow becomes available, why not give him that look? Why not give him that situational look and give him the opportunity to come here and prove what he can do here in Indianapolis? Curtis Painter hasn't proved to be a reliable quarterback in any way, shape, form, or manner. So that said, let's get somebody at least who has the potential of being a good quarterback in the league. I think that in the big picture, Tim Tebow has a much better optimistic outlook than Curtis Painter.
I think it's all about a matter of situation, although I'm going to have to kind of agree with what I heard on the JMV show, also what I've heard on NFL Network a little bit. Terrell Pryor will get more playing time in the NFL and his career than Tim Tebow will, at least the quarterback. Maybe Tim Tebow becomes a tight end, a running back.
Well, Tim Tebow, Pryor's not going to come to the Indianapolis Colts. Pryor is already signed or is in the process of signing with the Raiders. Pryor's going to the Raiders, plain and simple. So we can't be talking about Pryor. What we can be talking about is Tebow being available, an available quarterback, and a quarterback that the Indianapolis Colts could develop and can afford to pay.
Based on those things, Tim Tebow might not be a bad fit. I still say it'll be Brady Quinn. Although if they haven't signed anybody by Thursday, they're not going to.
Right.
If they haven't,
and I think that's correct, Josh. I mean, I don't think we're going to see any quarterback but Curtis Painter and Peyton Manning taking snaps for the Indianapolis Colts this year. Like it, love it, hate it, it is what it is. The Colts have spent too much time and too much energy, too much money in trying to develop Curtis Painter. And one thing is for sure is that if you have somebody like Peyton Manning mentoring you, spending time with you, giving you access to his playbooks, giving you access to his time, you're going to take that and you're going to develop from that. And, you know, you were talking about Brett Favre being a great fit here in Indianapolis. The mentor for Tim Tebow, Brett Favre. So let's not look past that whole Tim Tebow situation in Denver. But I think we're not going to see another quarterback. I think it's only going to be Peyton Manning and Curtis Painter under snap. And it's just the way it is, and it is what it is. And the Colts are going to have to learn to win with Curtis Painter, plain and simple.
Well, there is a third quarterback possibility for the Indianapolis Colts. And from everything I've heard, even though he's not been able to play in the game yet because he hasn't passed the concussion test, from everything that I've heard and that people have seen, Mike Hartline, the undrafted rookie out of the University of Kentucky, has more physical ability, has a stronger arm and better leadership skills than Curtis Painter does. Now, Painter's demanding $3 million this year, and that's a considerable amount of money. If Hardline's going to play a majority of the game on Friday like he's supposed to, and he looks really impressive, do you consider letting Painter go then because Hardline appears to have more talent?
There again, I don't even know that I like him. He's not came out spitting fire and proving to me that he can be any better of a quarterback than Tim Tebow, Brady Quinn, or Curtis Painter. So right now we're at a situation: is do we get rid of somebody to develop somebody all over again? I don't think that's a situation that the Colts want to get into. I think they're very comfortable in what they know. They like familiarity. They like the people that they know on their league, in their team, in their locker room. Curtis Painter, for whatever reason, has shown the Indianapolis Colts they see something in him that they want as part of the organization. So I think we're going to keep it going as it is, and it's the it's Painter and Manning. One thing I want to do real quick, guys, I want to make sure that you go to our website, www.thebalanceonline.com. Also, make sure every Saturday morning, 9 a.m., that you're right here on Blog Talk Radio listening to myself and $2 Bill, Josh, and our various guests that we have from week to week. And Gary Snyder will from the Gary Snyder Show will jump in from time to time as well. And it is the Balanced Gridiron, and we're going to be talking football. We're going to really get into the breakdown of some college football, fantasy football huddle. We'll have owners of our Balanced Fantasy team on the air with us, and plus also the NFL. So, and you can follow everything on our website, www.thebalanceonline.com. You can hear all of our archive shows on iTunes. Just search The Balance, Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance. Now, one of the other things that we want to talk about here across the league, Josh, is teams have to start trimming some players. So why not start right here with the Indianapolis Colts. Let's stop talking about this Brett Favre silliness, and let's start talking about where we've got to cut the fat. Obviously, Peyton Manning's going to be there, unsigned veteran, which is what we believe a veteran they'll bring in, and or they'll keep Curtis Painter. So we've already talked about that. Joseph Addai, Donald Brown, Carter, and Jarvis James. Do you agree or disagree with the running back situation in Indianapolis with those players there?
I think Addai is safe. I think Carter is safe. I don't think Brown makes it out of camp this year. Jarvis James hasn't really made it on the field. I also think you'll see the Colts keep Darren Evans, a rookie out of Warren Central High School. He went to Virginia Tech, and Chad Spann, a rookie out of North Central High School. He went to Northern Illinois. Who have all Carter, Spann, and Evans have all looked better than Donald Brown has ever looked in his career. I don't know if you got a chance to see much of the Colts' first two preseason games, Tom, but Carter's bull rushing people. He's not running around him. He's running over him.
Right, I think Carter has a good chance of staying. Wide receiver, Reggie Wayne. Here's who I've got who will stay with the Indianapolis Colts. Reggie Wayne, Pierre Cason, Austin Colley, and Anthony Gonzalez. And I think we find it's a free agent somewhere.
Those sound like good picks. We really don't have any new players that are really doing anything at wide receiver. Tight ends where it's going to get really exciting. I'm going to predict right now either Dallas Clark or Jacob Tammy does not make it out of training camp.
Well, if we're going to go with those two, Dallas Clark, number 44, will stay. Jacob Tammy will probably go. And then we'll keep Brody Elridge, Justin Snow, and find a free agent at the tight end.
Have you not been seeing our undrafted rookies, Tom? Wow, do we have some phenomenal ones. McNeil is awesome.
Absolutely. We do have some great rookies. Across the league, real quick, Josh, what are some of the changes that you think? You think Chris Johnson stays in Tennessee?
I do, although there's an outside possibility. And the New England Patriots are famous for this. Do not be shocked that Bill Belichick finds a way to get another stud on this football team.
Okay, I absolutely agree with that. Okay, anybody else across the board that you think that we need to – obviously we talked about the Raiders bringing on Pryor. Anybody else that you think that we need to talk about?
I think it'll be really exciting to see the Bears and the Giants play tonight to see if Jay Cutler makes any more improvements or if the backups in Chicago continue to threaten for his job. And the sad thing about the backups threatening for his job in Chicago, nobody can name the backups.
No, I agree with you absolutely 100% on that as well. Well, you know, it should prove to be very interesting. One of the things that I wanted to talk about real quickly here is beginning this Friday, myself and Josh Elmore, $2 Bill Josh, will be beginning to break down high school football in Central Indiana. So if you live here in Central Indiana, the wrap-up will be dedicated to high school football, and we'll be hopefully be able to get some sound bites from games, the different high school football coaches as well. So want to make sure that we make that announcement on Friday. It's the Balance High School Football or Friday Night Lights or whatever you guys want to call it. I tell you what, go to our Facebook page or the Balance online and tell us what you think we should name our high school show. But basically it's going to be Friday Night High School, and we're going to feature our Friday Night wrap-ups to the high school football games that are happening right here in Indianapolis and in around Central Indiana. Obviously, we cannot talk high school football without talking about the Ben Davis Giants. Joshua, what's going on in Ben Davis this year?
Well, Ben Davis looked really, really good on Friday night. Saturday night, me and Tom got to watch a little bit of the game after the draft, and it was an exciting game as Class 5A, now number 5, Ben Davis Giants, took down. He was then Class 4A, number 1 Cathedral. I believe Cathedral probably dropped to number 2 in the state. 24-21 in overtime. It was 21-21 heading into overtime. Ben Davis kicked a 35-yard field goal on the first possession of overtime. Cathedral had 4 shots from the 1-yard line, didn't get in. Ben Davis committed a defensive penalty, which caused them to move the ball half the distance to the goal and gave Cathedral a sit opportunity. They still didn't get into the end zone, so Ben Davis won 24-21. They come home to play Class 5A number 8 Pike on Friday night.
Right. So, well, there you go, guys, and that's just a sample of what's going to be happening right here on the Balance Wrap-Up High School version on Friday nights, every Friday night, 6 o'clock p.m. One of the other things I want to make sure that we talk about, and that's just in mentioning in passing here, is that there was 2 shootings and 1 beating after the 49ers play the Raiders. You guys, if you're fans, seriously, let's play it smart out there, guys. Come on, everybody's out there to have a good time. Don't be one of those stupid fans that we've got to read about or see about on YouTube or our ESPN highlights. Josh, 1-minute timeout. Take us out, buddy.
Do not miss the Balance Gridiron this Saturday as myself and a very special guest, which will not be revealed until Saturday morning, will co-host the Balance Gridiron and also go back and catch the replay from last Saturday as we had our first heated discussion, well, a couple of them, with 3 or 4 different guests on the show, so it's kind of cool we can finally have some heated discussions.
Well, there you go. Well, guys, that's going to do it. You're wrapped up here on The Balance on Blog Talk Radio. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 o'clock right here. Same bat channel, same bat time. Welcome to another exciting adventure of The Balance. That's right, boys and girls. The Balance team is...